You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Such a great word of encouragement and direction to help us understand who we are. It is not easy to be a Christian in this world. When we understand the dynamic of warfare, we will see that the enemy's task is to undo everything God has done. How does that look? One must appreciate the teaching of the Word of God and the structure that it brings to our lives. One must appreciate the instruction that he gives and always realize that it's the enemy's job to remove boundaries and to help us to coexist with those that are not godly. What is in the world today is a systematic destruction of the principles of the Word of God, wrapped up in religion, expressed through secular humanism, and embraced by satanic desire. You are constantly under attack. You find brief oases through situations that may be abated for a while. You find moments of comfort as you become anesthetized to life's issues. You get to the place where you simply say, "It is." I've heard that so often, and I thank God for my pragmatism because it helps me to no longer accept cultural norms. We as a people, we grab hold of whatever is convenient and we say whatever is part of our culture. It is what it is. It is a statement that means whatever I'm going through, I can't do anything about it, therefore I must just accept it. The acceptance is your way of saying that you don't have the power to change it. So you settle in to the defeat and you look for ways to become associated with the defeat, so much so that you anticipate moments of defeat rather than learning to walk in levels of victory. We have allowed the world, culture, and teachings to bring us to a point where we simply accept what's going on in our world, in our bodies, in our social existence, in every capacity of our lives, we have begun to capitulate and we give Satan unlimited access by the words that come out of our mouths. God said, several months ago, well, I would say years ago, I evaluate every colloquialism along spiritual lines. It is a habit of mine. One of my hobbies is etymology. It means I no longer like to just hear words. I like to study words, find out where they've come from, the origin of the word, and does the word fit the plan of God? Because I may say something that is contrary to the plan of God. Now, this is for Christians. If you are not yet born again, you can't receive this. And so I notice with great curiosity how many children of God, particularly those who are adults, who have been pulled into the vernacular of teenagers and young people who lack the mental capacity to understand what they're doing. How many of you use phrases such as what I had heard? How many of you use phrases such as for real, for real? I'm not hungry, hungry. You understand that they are, just words for slang. But here's the problem. Each week I get up, and at some point in my sermon and even in my classes, I will use this term. I'm 32 years old. Each time I use that term, you laugh, and I can understand you laughing because you know I'm only 31. And you laugh about it because some of you suspect you know how old I am. But like Barry Manilow, I've been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song. But understand, my brain doesn't know how old I am. My brain doesn't keep a chronological list of my age. My brain says, this is how we feel. You see, Clint Eastwood's brain doesn't know he's 80 years old. All it knows is he keeps acting. And so it keeps giving him the ability. Now, his outside looks like he should retire, but he's still sharp. He speaks fluent Italian. He's a paisano. And his brain doesn't know it. So the more I tell my brain I'm 32, it sends a message to my knees, my back, my legs, every other part of me and says, hey, we're 32. Now, you haven't grasped that because you laugh. But if you know what I know, you'd be 32 too. In fact, there was a song that was sung with passion in the Christian church. This old building keeps on leaning. I gotta move to a better home. These old eyes of mine are getting dimmer. I've gotta move to a better home. I was in a church when a woman stood up and she began to talk about how her body was decaying. She said she was going through some tremendous physical challenges. She went to God and she said, Lord, what is happening? And the Holy Spirit said, it's that song you're singing. Your body hears that this old building keeps leaning and it decides it's leaning. Because Jesus said in Mark's gospel, you will have what you say. I'm 32. I wish I could. See, you really don't believe Mark 11. You think it's just a reciting verse. But when you say it is what it is, here's what you do to God. You take his omnipotent hands and you tie them and you say, well, it is what it is. And then you throw in the extra caveat and there's nothing I can do about it. But that sentence should not stop with a period. It should have a comma. There's nothing I can do about it, but there's something God can do about it. Now, I must create the atmosphere for him to move, and it comes through positive speech. And I'm not talking about the Norman Vincent Peale theology of speaking positively until things happen, although that is credible because he stole it from the scriptures. But I will submit to you that there is a doctor. I'm not going to give his name because I don't want to advertise for him. But the Holy Spirit had me watch his show on PBS. And he is the head of the neurology department at Harvard Hospital in Boston, Mass. And he specifically works with those who have mental issues. And he made a statement in his book. And I love this book. The Super Brain is what it's called. So Google it and get it. But in this book, he makes a statement. He says, now I don't know if he's born again because he doesn't speak about Christ, but this is the statement he made that just illuminated my soul. He said, I tell my patients that when you speak positively, Your brain undergoes something called neurogenesis, in other words, new creations. And new nerve endings begin to form that enable you to do the things that you quote. When I read that, I said, oh my God, Jesus said that in Mark 11. But we didn't know the scientific support until somebody studied it. You see, the enemy wants you to continue to speak negatively. He wants you to keep saying it is what it is. And what you don't realize is that that concept is stealing your joy and opens the door for depression because you've resigned yourself to it is what it is. But the word of God says you can lay hands on the sick, including yourself. The word of God says that you are more than a conqueror, even you. The word of God says you will have what you say. So as long as it is what it is, it won't be what it could be. Now, some of us are experiencing natural things that happen with the evolution of life. But God said something in the Word of God that supersedes the natural order of things. You see, what you must realize is that all healing comes from God. And there are a couple of ways God does it. Number one, He has given the body the ability to heal itself through a myriad of physiological and biological supports. But then there are times when the body lacks the capacity of self-healing that he then sends his word. What our enemy loves to do is get us to focus on the colloquialism so that we cannot receive the healing, because the more we say it is what it is, then we darken our faith so that we cannot move to the word of God's position of healing and deliverance. Every week we hear the word of God, and the situation that we encounter receives the same support from us. It is what it is. I'm a fighter. With me, nothing is what it is. I keep going till I find an answer. Amen. I believe in doctors. Yes, I do. But if one doctor tells me something, I keep going till I get somebody to tell me something different. I just believe God has somebody that he has touched with a new way of doing anything. Just because I've been going to this one for 20 years and they've exhausted their ability doesn't mean God doesn't have somebody else. Lord, help me today. Bethel, you're upsetting me. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she went from doctor to doctor to doctor and spent all of her Medicare. She spent all of her Blue Cross. She spent all of her money on the doctor's cures, and she exhausted everything. But one day she heard. If I can use the little colloquialism, she had heard. All she heard was about Jesus. She didn't hear about his background. She didn't hear about his genealogy. She didn't hear about his education. She didn't hear about his anointing. She just heard that this man heals people. She didn't know what he was. Was he a practicing physician? What was he? Was he an OBGYN? I'm bleeding incessantly from my inside. I've got female trouble. But she did not press his pedigree. All she heard was that something happens when you touch him. So when she heard about Jesus, her brain locked in. It sent hope to her spirit. And she said, look, all I got to do is touch his clothes. Ask your neighbor, what had you had heard? Oh, I wish I had a church that could hear me today. Woo! I feel him in here. If I can use this term, and I know it's not right, but it's I gotta be me, whether I'm right or wrong. God is tired of us. Jesus became so exacerbated with the people in Mark's gospel. He came down and said, how long should I put up with you? You've been watching me raise dead people, heal sick people, deliver those that are not deliverable, and you still don't believe. How many of you have seen or have heard or know someone who has received a healing? Now, of those who have raised their hand, how many of you need a healing? Why aren't you walking in it? Why don't you have it? Either you are unable to be healed or you're unwilling to be healed. That you have grown so comfortable with the condition that you don't know how to be healed. My series on spiritual warfare, I didn't want to finish it last week because it was Family Friends Day. But now you need to understand what you're up against. 50 years ago, the enemy came. He was very boisterous. He was very demonstrative. Demon-possessed people would run down to the front and challenge the leaders of God with voices that were wicked. You could sense and or feel the wickedness. Manifestations of Satanism were literal in our churches. But then he began to realize it was time to stop that. So he changed his clothes. He went from horns and a pitchfork to a ministerial collar and a preaching frock. And he said, I can do more damage on the inside like a termite rather than coming out and being all boisterous, because then you can cast me out. But if you don't know I'm sitting right next to you, what you gonna do when I come for you, bad boy, bad boy? The warfare that we are experiencing is not the one that you've been anticipating. You were looking for a devil who would do crazy and weird things, but now he has gone off to school to become educated. He has become a great theologian. He moves in prophetic. He moves in ministry. He moves in gifts. He applies so-called burdens. But the one thing that he does with every one of his people is he influences them from their past. Your greatest enemy is not the Amorite. Amorite, it usually is associated with negative speech, but your greatest enemy is your Amalekite from your past. If you remember, the Bible said the Amalekites came up from the south, and the south is behind you. And what's behind you? What's behind you are the things that can kill you. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's what's behind you. It's the door that you've left open. And the warfare begins in your mental concepts. Jesus says in John's gospel that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and learn how to live it to the full. We acquiesce to things simply because we have been duped into believing that what is on us, if it's not changed immediately, it is what it is. And there is nothing in the Word of God to substantiate it is what it is. You need to change that. It is what I'm letting it become. One of the classic tactics of our enemy is to take the proverbial molehill and turn it into a mountain. I'm here to boldly proclaim that things are not as bad as you think they are. As long as you are vertical, things aren't too bad. Amen. As long as you don't have a room in the hospital's ICU ward, things are not too bad. As long as you are able to breathe under your own volition without the aid of an oxygen machine, things are not so bad. As long as Jesus Christ is your friend, I don't care who walks away from you, things are not too bad. Brothers and sisters, many of you sit here today, bless your godly hearts, and you have been convinced that there is no spiritual warfare. You have become modernized by the TV preachers who do more secular counseling than they do preaching the marvelous word of God. They're motivational speakers without calling you into accountability. Without promoting the holiness of God, they've created a spiritual utopia that does not have responsibility, accountability, and most importantly, the demonstration of love. All they want you to do is strive for heaven without realizing that heaven is not a freeway. It is a toll road. And you must pay for your consecration. You're going to have to go through trials and tests. And at the end of the trial, it must be you standing there. You must stand under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must be bold in your assertion that none of these things move me. You've been having fun with your Christianity for the past 10, 15 years, but now God is requiring us to pay for our traveling. It is time now that you understand that to be a Christian is not about church. It is about who you are when you leave the church. And you can't just shout while you're in church. You must be able to shout when you leave church. You must have a dance in the midst of a trial. You must have a praise when there's nothing to praise God for. Tell your neighbor, we are in a war. We are in a war. When I was in boot camp, we had a close combat instructor. He was teaching us how to execute the rifle movements in case we find ourselves in close proximity to the enemy. Mind you, I was an 18-year-old off-the-street guy, fresh out of high school. And he stands in front of me with a M16 and a bayonet on the end. He's teaching us how to exercise and execute a horizontal butt stroke, a vertical butt stroke, a slash, a jab, and a smash. Mess with me.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number 04119P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Today's culture needs the impact of the Word of God, and those who are called are tasked with handling the Word carefully. If you are one of the called, we invite you to get equipped at the next Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon. You'll learn biblical and practical strategies for crafting sermons that are relevant to the body of Christ today. The Making of a Minister is taking place Saturday, June 15th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585, or visit BethelDeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, come and learn how to challenge the culture through substantial teaching from the Word of God. We'll see you there.